For your listening pleasure, a very special one-shot.
Hey, you. Come in, come in. Thanks for coming. Hope you weren't cold out there. It's nice and brisk outside. Perfect night for some TTRPG one-shot action, huh? Sorry for all the mystique about the invite. I didn't want the other players to know about this. Before you freak out, in fairness, I didn't lie, I texted the invite to you specifically outside of our group chat. So more like I withheld the fact of it being just us. Look, you're the newest guy at the table, and I do these little one-on-ones every now and then to get, shall we say, intimately familiar with the players. And brass tacks, I like you. I like gaming with you, so I think this will be a good way for us to get to know each other, yeah? Oh, good. I see you have the supplies. Yeah, a little weird, huh? I get it. Only a d20 as opposed to the full set. All will be told in due time, adventurer. Seriously, come in, sit down, have a drink. Like, let's set an intention here up front for our little one-on-one one-shot. I need complete control, and for you to consent to me being in complete control. Like, for real. If you aren't into that, totally cool, you don't have to stay, or we can just, like, play Baldur's Gate or something. But if you are into it, and really, I hope that you are, I think this could be really fun. I have a really unique adventure planned, and I'm going somewhere with all this. Promise. For now, I just need you to trust me. Can you do that? Wait, before you say anything, I actually need you to stay silent. That'll be another rule for the night. Just respond with nods. Weird, I know, but there's a reason. So here it is. I think you could, stand to work on your RP game a little? Not meaning to be overly critical, mind you, just something that every player can stand to bone up on every now and then. It's a special relationship. DM and player, I want you to get the most out of our game. I know I'm a little shy outside of the table, but when I am behind the screen, I feel not just power, but responsibility to, like, make sure the players do their best and have the best possible time with the game. The power is kind of great, though. Need more shy, nerdy girls making all the rules. Okay, so, you okay with letting me drive? I promise when we get through this, you are going to feel a lot more confident with your role-playing at the table. And a lot more confident around me. Deal? And whatever happens, you're good with this, right? Just nod, okay? I want you to be totally immersed. That's the key here. We are going to limit the number of things you have to focus on around the table so that you can be totally immersed in playing your role. Oh, and on that note, I want you to close your eyes for the rest of our adventure. I know, I lit candles, dimmed lights, even put out a few decorations on the table just to have you close your eyes. There's a method to my madness, remember? I'll let you peek at your die to check on your rolls. But other than that, I want you to keep those peepers shut and let the scenery I described to you unfold in your mind. Don't worry so much about what's going on in the room here. One of the tenets of good role-playing is mixing gestures, glances, stuff like that, along with the spoken word. There's more to it than silly voices. Anyone can copy a character they saw in a movie. You need to mix in the looks and the motions and really feel like you embody the character. And for that, you need a creative mind and confidence in what you are doing. For those, you need practice. You don't need your eyes for this adventure, but let your hands do what your character would be doing. Listen and get immersed. Trust me, my methods are unorthodox, but I can get results tonight, and I promise you are going to have a good time. You might even feel a little something. There. Put your supplies on the table in front of you. You'll notice a bowl fashioned in the shape of a delicate pair of hands in front of you. Like I said, part of being immersed in the game and setting the scene, bringing a little bit of the scene to you. That's why we use minis and maps. Duh. See, method to my madness. Okay, supplies in reach and eyes totally shut. No peeking unless it's to look at your dice. Ready to start? Let's begin. You open your eyes and inhale with a start. In the game, silly. Keep them shut out here. Okay, as I was saying, you open your eyes and inhale with a start. You are in a massive, dark chamber with stone walls and floors. The room stinks of recent combat and gore. You smell ashes and sinew, and blood, lots of it. You do not recall why you are here, but around you, the bodies of who you imagine to be your compatriots lay fallen. You do not recognize them per se, but somehow, you know they were with you, and they have met their demise. You have dark vision, and you can see across the room a horde of trolls, also recently slain. By your hand, you imagine. You must have survived and passed out. You look around for clues as to why you are there, but before you see anything of note, you hear a calm voice.
Hero. Well done, hero. You have succeeded through much toil and violence, and completed the penultimate chamber in this place.
You spin around and see the face of an exquisite drow girl. She looks to be about our age, although what that amounts to in elf years your character does not know. Even in the dark, you can see her form. She is quite a sight. In a space littered with the proceeds of violence, here stands beauty incarnate. Her skin is a nearly translucent shade of gray, not pale, and not the flesh tone of a human who has not seen light in some time. You would not describe this as pale in any tongue. She's so fair. Her long elf ears peek out of thick, wavy white hair. Not the white that comes with age, but something finer, more eternal. Her eyes glow a pleasing emerald color. You have seen few dark elves in your days, and none in your recollection exuded such haunting beauty. You get the sense it is by way of her glowing eyes that she is visible to you in her truest form,
in spite of the omnipresent dark. She is not wearing any armor, and she appears unarmed. But without having to roll anything in particular, you know that she possesses arcane might, the likes of which you have never before encountered. Her slender form is adorned with a robe woven in delicate spider silk. There's no word for its color in common or any of the languages you speak. It has few adornments, but it is lovely, and it fits her in a pleasing way. Her breasts are neither generous, nor are they unremarkable. You can tell they are absolutely perfect. Her robes dance across and between them like a stream, and as she moves towards you, you cannot help but notice how... Perky? Perky they are. Her movements are graceful, as if she is weightless. Not floating, but moving with such ease. As she nears you and you inhale, her very essence dispels not only the foul smells of the struggle that happened before you gained consciousness, but also the pain of your wounds. Without moving her hands or saying anything yet, you feel your HP fully recharged, spell slots recovered, as if you have just awoken from more than one long rest. Not only that, you feel the weight of your armor lifted, as if it were never there. Although, as you glance down, you see that it remains. Such levity. You have never felt quite like this. It is intoxicating. Breathe her in, hero. Breathe in her essence. Why are you here? She asks, as you snap out of the near trance you find yourself in just from taking in her very form. You suddenly realize it was not a question, but a statement. She knows your thoughts without words forming on your very lips. She heard you ask that very question of yourself. You are summoned here by me. I have haunted these halls for years your kind has long forgotten. I have retained my youth and my vitality, but I too came here seeking. I became trapped by challenging the many foul beings that inhabit this place. You have summoned my physical form, and I am as I once was. Shall I show you to the last chamber, the one that brings us both to release, to treasure, to answers, to all the things for which our hearts yearn? I know your mind, mortal. Your mind seeks answers, truth, not treasure. You came here seeking challenge, adversity, the stimulation of adventure, not power. You find that in these cases, one begets the other, mortal.
She strides gracefully over to the chamber wall, and as she approaches, two torches on the wall, flanking what naturally appears to be the location of a door, spark and flame. But not the fire you have known your whole life. This is arcane fire. It glows. It gives off no heat. And as the torches reach their full brilliance, a stone door appears. She speaks in her elven tongue, words that sound to your ears like a song. And the door opens for her, obediently. She walks confidently through it. As she enters the darkness, you cannot help but feel a twinge of curiosity as her form passes by the torches, and you see her body adorned by her delicate robes,
backlit briefly by the arcane light.
Hey, are you with me? Yeah, that's it. Take a sip of your drink. You're really getting into this already, huh? It looks like you are. You look flush. You like my elf maiden, huh? She doesn't have a name. She's just a homebrew creation of mine. Keep your eyes closed. Don't worry. I'm bringing her back. Patience, traveler.
As you step across the threshold into the darkness behind the door, you enter a cool room, one that is so quiet you can nearly hear your own thoughts in the same way as the elven enchantress. You follow her into a room with onyx reflective floors, so black that you feel as if you are standing in the middle of the astral plane itself. The room is, again, dark, but the elven guide seems to be more vivid here. You follow her to the center of the room. In an odd moment of lucidity, you notice that, as you stride, the weight of your belt feels off, and you look down to find the hilts of your weapons to be gone, as well as the pack on your back, and the many supplies you instinctively feel should be there. Sensing your concern, the elven goddess says coolly,
"Your weapons. You will not need them."
She continues to walk for what feels like a long time, and in front of you, eventually, you see a stream of light you did not before notice. You can no longer tell where you are situated in the room, as it appears now to expand infinitely in all directions. You approach the altar. As you near it, you realize that high above you in the ceiling is a space through which silvery moonlight streams in. As you approach even nearer, you find that the altar is an onyx pedestal, not unlike the floor on which you stand, with a statue of a lovely demoness. You know her from your extensive knowledge of the lore of the land, but what relevance she bears to this place, you cannot be too sure. The statue is fashioned out of smooth white marble. It shines in the eerie glow of the moonlight. She is naked, but tail and wings are situated in such a way that the stonework, though delicate, reveals only a sense for her shape, her form. You can see her breasts, but her nipples are covered by her forearms. Her hands are held together, cupped, and outstretched in your direction, as if seeking an offering or a sacrifice. "I hope it's an offering," you think to yourself, and you hear the elven woman laugh.
"It is,"
she says.
"She requires the fruit of the vitality that I have restored to you." "She has no needs for feats of might or magic. No bard song, vicious mockery will sway her. No sleight of hand can pick her lock. There is no convincing, no intimidation. There is only the gift she requires, given into her hands. Place your feet before the altar, mortal, and disrobe."
You heard her, adventurer. Disrobe. Go on, drop the pants. This next part is going to be a little tough if you don't.
"Disrobe before the demoness, adventurer, and demonstrate your vitality. Present yourself to her, and when she deems you worthy, she will begin to test you. I will be here to guide you. It is by bringing you here that I am in my own way fulfilling the offering. The elf girl stands in front of you now, fixating her gaze on your now exposed cock with her inscrutable gaze. Without speaking or breaking her stare, she slowly lifts her delicate hands, crossing them over her chest, and slides them beneath her robe, running them across her breasts under her robe. She expands her fingers, and obediently, her robe drifts off of her shoulders and down her arms, catching in the crooks of her elbows, revealing teardrop breasts like you have never before seen in your expansive travels. You have known many women, more than you can recall. You have known elven women, human women, half-orc women. You have known even the delicious curves of a tiefling woman, at least the one. But never have you ever seen teardrop breasts such as these. Standing at attention, nipples standing erect, yet you imagine if you were to tease one with your tongue, it would be soft, delicate. This is perfection incarnate. Your eyes wander greedily across her body, silver jewelry accentuating her neck and wrists. Jewels from parts of the world you imagine no mortal eyes have beheld. She stands with elegant posture, but the delicate robe betrays the body of a goddess. Without moving her lips, you hear her voice in your mind. I am here to offer you the help that you need for your task, mortal. I bring you advantage in your goal. Take in my form. Breathe me in. Let your eyes be both closed and open at once, seeing me, feasting on my visage, and feeling my spirit touch you like a thousand gentle hands of courtesans who are worthy of an adventurer of your might. Feel them guide you into pleasure, so that your cock may know its true form. As your blood pumps violently into your cock, notice that the demoness's eyes glow ruby red, shining sensual light across her stone body. It glints over her breasts, and you notice that the smooth stone is enticing, and you wish to be able to take them in your hands, but you notice that your feet are fixed to the spot, and your wrists are now bound with glowing red manacles. The manacles are not connected by any chain. Instead, they seem to have a will of their own. Your dominant hand finds itself held fast behind your back. You are able to move your non-dominant hand, but only in the direction of your erect cock. The silvery light shifts away from the demoness sculpture, and she is lit only by the radiant red glow of her eyes. The moonlight moves as if guided by some sort of automaton mirror trick, somehow beyond your view, and it highlights another sculpture. The elf girl gestures towards it.
Your first of 7 challenges. Work quickly, hero. As the moon drifts in the sky, it will reveal 7 vestiges of pleasure, held most dear by this demoness. You will be permitted only however many strokes your demoness deems sufficient. Too fast, and you will be stuck examining the demoness's sculptures with no strokes remaining. Too slow, and you may not receive the full benefit of your studied hand. You must have discipline, hero. You must show discipline. Command over not just your body, but your mind. and spirit.
Roll your die, hero. Whatever you see on the face of the die, you may stroke your cock that many times. Slow, fast, tight, loose, whatever works for you, works for me. So long as you know that by the time the seventh statue has been revealed and gone, you must present your offering to the demoness in front of you, or you will be surrounded by darkness and silence until the moon returns to reveal the tests of the demoness. Since you presented your cock so impressively, great role-playing, by the way, I will allow you to roll with advantage. So, you remember, roll twice. You may only stroke the number of times shown on the highest of your two rolls, one series of times per statue. After that number of strokes, you will find the manacles quite capable of preventing you from stroking until you see the next statue and roll again. If you roll a natural 20, you're in luck. You can stroke however you want until the next statue appears. If you roll a natural 1 on either of your rolls, your manacles will prevent you from stroking until a new statue appears. The silvery moonlight is cast across a large marble statue, showing an innocent-looking human maiden. She is knelt before a powerful warrior hero, only visible from the waist down, wearing magnificent armor. Somehow the splendor of his armor is overshadowed, however, by the incredible detail of the maiden. Her breasts are fully exposed, and her mouth beckoning to the warrior. The expertly crafted stone betrays soft, articulate lips. Her hair is ravished. Her face is etched with need. Her modest dress is resting across her thighs. They are so abundant. Again, though stone, you know that these are legs you desire to feel, holding either side of your face like bookends. Hope you got your strokes in, hero. Time for the next test. Got to think fast and adapt. Use your mind. 7 tests will go by quick, quick, quick. Roll again and, good luck. The moonlight now reveals to you the second statue of the demoness. There is no fair maiden in this statue. No. This is a tangle of 4 bodies. All of them are as naked as they were born, and they are intertwined into lovemaking so complex your mind can hardly take in the scene all at once, as you feel its inspiration fill your mind while you apply measured, tight-gripped pulses to your cock. One man, a warrior, treats his massive hands to the breasts of one human girl and the pussy of an elf girl. With his left hand, he cups the copious breasts of the human. She covers his hand with her smaller one, inviting him. With her other hand, she cups her own other breast, feeling the contrast of his rough-hewn palms and hers that have never known trial of their own. He thrusts 3 fingers into the slit of the elf. Your eyes search for her face, and you find her. She is enraptured with pleasure. Her eyes are closed fast and her mouth agape. You can hear her scream in your mind. You know that for her, this must be the moment of release. You can imagine that even though this motionless marble representation is perfectly still, her release would be like rain, that it would douse each of her 3 lovers all at once, cooling them, rewarding their passion, unifying their pleasure. A 4th woman's face is obscured by her hair, and her head obscures the cock of the male warrior. You do not have to see his member to know that it is deeply entrenched in her lustful, hungry mouth. only your imagination knows if she has recently found her place in this tangle, or if he is treating her to his offering like you will the demoness in a short while. Roll again, hero.
The moonlight moves on from this scene to one quite different. In this third statue, you see a dwarf woman draped across a fainting couch, gilded in soft-looking robes, not unlike those worn by the elven lass who guided you to this place. She has the appearance of a magic user, and she is alone. Although, as you look carefully at the scene, you see a table beside the couch, and on it a picture, a werewolf, and you imagine this was once her lover, and is still in certain light. One of her hands is held fast behind her head, her eyes are closed, and her hair strewn across the pillow on which her head rests. Her legs are both held out straight, and her muscular but still quite feminine form is taut with pleasure, doubtlessly near its peak. Her left hand is plunged deep under her robes. As you take in the beauty of the statue, you notice that it contains such detail as beads of sweat on her forehead and chest. The expertly crafted stonework almost looks as if it depicts her sweat-drenched robes. You have heard many silly tales of the stubble-strewn chin and masculine way of the dwarf woman, but not her. She is feminine. She looks fertile. You almost imagine the werewolf grabbing both of her ankles and staring hungrily at her, ready to nuzzle and lick and taste and satiate. Roll, hero. You're past the halfway point. I hope you are building up quite an offering for the demoness. I'd sure hate for you to get stuck in here. In the fourth statue, you behold a tiefling woman. You have always found their visage particularly delectable. She stands tall with her head tilted back, the tips of her curved horns pointed back away from you. She wears an elegant dress, which covers most of her body. It is hiked up in the middle, and both of her hands are fixed atop the head of another tiefling maid. This one clearly lapping between the legs of the first. The second one is knelt, seated back on her heels, and you notice her beautiful, full ass. It is so plump. You imagine yourself joining them. You imagine the second tiefling maid, knelt just as she is, but with your face buried between her legs, her inner thighs and smooth vulva tortured by the threads of your heroic beard. You know what you would do to her with your tongue. You can imagine the still, stone tiefling maid, animated with the work of both delivering and receiving oral pleasure. You are haunted by the idea of somehow joining these women, depicted in stone, adding your studied tongue to a triangle of pleasure. Whew, I am sweating, babe. I wrote us a good one. Roll again. Keep going. Stay focused. Are you, getting close? Is that pre-cum? I love that. Stay in the game, babe. You're doing perfect. The second to last statue. This one is a bit silly. A human girl, wearing round spectacles, lays on her belly across a cot. Her hair is pulled back in a ponytail, with loose tendrils adorning the sides of her face. She is naked,
and she is propped on her elbows with one hand holding open a book. But her eyes are closed, and though she looks peaceful, relaxed, and perhaps only a slight bit titillated, a half-orc man is positioned behind her, with muscular arms holding her ass as if he, too, is holding the cover of a book apart. His thumbs securely looped in the shelf where her ass meets her thighs, his palms full with her soft, pillowy, ample cheeks. He is knelt behind her and thrusting his needy cock into her. For all of her calm amusement, the half-orc's muscles are bristling with effort, deploying his erratic need into her. You cannot tell where he is inserted, and your imagination is alight with animation of the stone, displaying both possibilities in your mind's eye. His chest heaves. You can tell. You can imagine his frantic breaths overlaying her soft, steady breath. You imagine gentle squeaks with each thrust. His power holds no more domination over her than it would a flea. She is free, experiencing calm, casual pleasure, while his chaotic thrusts fight for release. Just like you are fighting, hero. And as the moon begins to shift again, your mind flickers like a candle wick with the idea of the half-orc pouring his release into her, filling her, spurting out as he continues to thrust, chasing every last shred of pleasure as if he is wringing water out of a towel. You imagine him collapsing, and her closing the book, rolling over onto her back, drawing a sample with her delicate finger, raising it to her lips, and... Last roll, babe. Fuck. I hope it's a good one. I really want to see you, make it out of this one. Whatever the number on your highest of two rolls is the exact number of strokes you get to achieve release and adorn the hands of the demoness with your offering. The final statue is massive. You see quite a different scene. The tentacles of a kraken emerge, splitting through the onyx stone of the floor, as if the floor itself is the infinite surface of the ocean, under which you imagine a monster so fierce that its visage is impossible to describe. Its tentacles hold above it the bodies of many sailors, but held out almost as if the beast intends for you to stand here and notice. A desperate siren. Her long hair scattered behind her like a cloud. Her mouth is open, but it yields no song, because it is filled with the tip of one of the beast's tentacles. You see her teeth baring against the tentacle, but not piercing through, and you wonder if she is fighting it, or if she has surrendered to its might. The same tentacle is holding her body in the air, and it is wrapped around her neck, not to deprive her of air, but it is just taut enough to silence her song, so that it may be the sole terror of this scene. Her legs are held apart, each by their own tentacle, slithered up each. One extends up even further, and you see the cup of one of the tentacles covering one of the siren's nipples. You imagine it suckling at her nipple, extending the monsoon of the sensations she is experiencing all at once to one quite unexpected tease. Between her legs, the sucker of one tentacle is situated between the cheeks of her ass, and another covers her clitoris. And though there is no finale to be divined from the sight in front of you, you know that the same tentacle would ultimately plunge inside of her slit and extract wetness from her that would rival the ocean.
You imagine the Kraken pursuing wanton pleasure and demanding it from the Siren's body, just as she has many an unsuspecting sailor. As you feel your own pleasure surging and pulsing, you feel as if your own cock is one of those tentacles, and somehow, all of them at once, filling each needy hole of the Siren, delivering her to ecstasy, filling her beyond capacity. And as the light returns to the visage of the demoness before you, her plump breasts and hands outstretched towards you, demanding your pleasure, you see the light of her eyes beginning to fade, and in your head you hear whispers. As the whispers begin and the lights fade, you feel the manacles release stroke your hands and, release and freedom returning stroke to them.
Stroke. It is time stroke to come, weary traveler. Stroke. Come now, please, or forever surrender yourself to this place, your vitality. Let your and mind you find respite offerings I have revealed to you. Release. In the silver light of the moon. And release. Nine. Let your mind stroke dance with lust and seven.
The elven enchantress opens her eyes and views your offering to the demoness and smiles. You notice the eyes of the demoness have returned to glowing. You survey the mess of your ropes of cum deposited into her hands, running down her fingertips, dripping down the chest of the statue of the demoness. A portal appears in front of you, and you walk towards it. As you take each step, you feel yourself depleted from the work of pleasing the demoness. In it, like a painting, you see green trees and a field at dusk. You step through it, and you breathe deeply fresh, cool air. And as the pleasure settles in your chest, it mixes with the air of the outside, and you hear the crackle of autumn leaves drifting in the gentle breeze. You see that your tools and weapons have returned to your belt. The elven enchantress is gone, and although you think briefly of your fallen compatriots and empty hands, somehow you know the meaning of her words, and you look out across the landscape, satisfied with your release as the reward of your efforts.
Wow. Wow. You did it, or, we did it? I don't know what to say. I can't believe we did that. I think it's safe to say you have the hang of it. So, I guess I'll see you next week.
Hey, wait, you forgot your die. I wiped it off for you.